They don't care about audio. They care about honest policies and working for the people. Hello and welcome Hello. To... Hey.
Sorry, I stepped on your toes there.
I know, but look, virtually, because we're in different places, but this is called the Even Worse Idea of All Time, a little place where we like to... A little vibe space where we sort of congregate and have a little... A jam sesh regarding mostly hit film Breaking Dawn Part 2.
You know, it's interesting because what defines a hit? Obviously, financially, very viable. Critically, not so much. Hi, my name's Jamie.
Yeah, look, I think your ideal is both of those things. Your artistic success and your success with monies. But look, one or the other, Daddy's not complaining.
I'm complaining. I don't like Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2. Sorry, just to quickly confirm, was this the week you were wanting to be positive about Twilight? Or are we pushing that back every week?
Yeah, well, how are you feeling? What do you think about that as a mission statement?
I feel like we could maybe do it. I don't think I have anything particularly negative to say about the film this week. I got to be honest with you up front, Oliver. I was not fully in it this week. I was not paying a lot of attention. tell you a funny little story. Here in New Zealand today, it's actually a public holiday. Not that really means anything in the current climate. You know, everyone's home anyway. But
kicker.
But I forgot this, and so I got up and I was doing work all morning, and then was notified by my father. I was on the phone to him, and he said, "Oh, of course it's a public holiday today." And I said, "What?" And he said, "Yeah, it's Anzac Day." And so then I thought, "Gosh, I've been wasting all these hours." But while I'd been working, I had Breaking Dawn Part 2 on because, you know, we're recording on a Monday, and usually I am working, and I think, well, I don't want to be spending too much of my free time, you know, doing that, so I kind of have it while I... And then last week I was actually pretty focused in, but this week not so much for sort of the last third, I would say. So, you know, an admission there on my front. How did you find the watch this week, Oliver?
Oh, look, I think in these times of strife, we've got a... It's just a movie, you know? It's fine. These people got together to put this thing in front of us, and it's like, yes, I will gobble this up, you know? Who am I to reject this magical world of vampires and some werewolves and just beautiful people doing their thing? You know, what am I? It's not, you know, it's a thing. Cool.
Yeah. Can I ask, what time of day did you watch it? Did you watch it just recently?
Yeah, I'm thinking... Look, first I'm thinking time is a construct, and don't label me with your big city ideas. I'm bloody working. Look, but I will answer your question because I am a cooperative guy, if belligerent. Strange thing.
I was just trying to get a sort of a grasp on what your viewing situation is. Obviously, I've had some time away from the film now because I watched it sort of midday. Just trying to, you know, get a real hold on. Did you watch it recently?
Yeah, you had a simple question, and I can't begrudge you for it. Yeah, pretty recently. So, look, I guess my favourite film... No. How do you feel? What's your favorite vibe?
I feel all right now. I'm not... I remember last week... feeling really, really grim about it. And I still am finding myself really not wanting to watch it. But I think this week it just didn't faze me too much. It just sort of seemed like a task that I had to do. And I did it, admittedly, without paying as much attention as I possibly should have been. But I still was consuming it. So I feel fine. I'm not in a bad place per se.
We haven't been talking much. We sort of made it an edict to not really discuss the old pandemic on the podcast too much because people don't necessarily want to hear about it. And I think that's been a good policy. But I've been thinking about, you know, this thing about you know, a lot of people want to make stuff in the pandemic and use this time to be creative and stuff. And there's a lot of stuff on both sides going, hey, there's no need to do that. And then people saying, yeah, no, you fully can do that. And it's like, I don't know, what is this project in this new era? Is it fucking, is it futile? Is it, you know?
I think definitely futile, but I think the futility of it is in itself sort of the point, is it not? Like, I think the thing you're sort of constantly grappling with is a waste of time, which, yeah, let's be honest, is 100% yes, but a waste of time in what context? You know, does it have some value to us? I would say so. I'd say what I'm finding, sorry to cut you off there, but I was just going to say quickly, what I find hardest about it is when we did it with Bad Mums 2, that was obviously, you know, once again, the same concept. So yes, sure, it's a waste of time. However, I was seeing you and Alistair, you know, at least once a week, and that was a very good thing. What we are now looking at in this crisis is that, you know, that sort of that physical contact and that social element is not something we're getting. And so it's a lot harder watching Breaking Dawn Part 2 every week without having the sort of upside of hanging out with your pals, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's bloody rough, isn't it? Yeah, I guess now it comes down to whether the quality of what we put out, whether we feel like what we're putting out should be out there in the world. And it's like, I guess not, but people are listening to it, so they've made, you know, they've dug their own graves, they've decided to. So
do you think what we're putting out is actively bad?
No, but like, even if I thought that, if we have more than one listener, I feel like it's broadly like it's found someone, you know, we've shot that arrow and it's hit a target, right? And even if the arrow is made of pure human shit, then it still hit that target and we're still going to win the archery competition.
I feel like for the next few weeks at least, you know, for the foreseeable sort of little while, I think we're probably going through, even though we're in the earlier stages, I think this will be sort of, this has been a bit of a test, obviously having to do it separately. Now, Tim and Guy, the original hosts of The Worst Idea, they did an entire season apart, and I can't imagine how that would go. But I mean, for us, it's fairly likely in the not too distant future that we'll be back to being in the same room again. Obviously not for the next, you know, I would say probably maybe in like another month that could be an option. I don't know, what are your views on that?
I think probably, yeah, and that'll be better. I think I'm losing my sense of self somewhat. I've been watching so much Family Guy and reading all these books and like listening to audio dramas.
Family Guy books?
No, just different books.
Totally immersed in the canon of Family Guy. Family Guy audio dramas. I've got the bloody extended canon novels.
If you show me a Family Guy comic book and say, this is part of the canon, I will spit on your back, right? TV or bust. And just all these things. And I've been having very vivid dreams, and a lot of them are about Family Guy. And like, either I'm in it or I'm just talking banal stuff about it. And my dreams are so vivid, and there's more going on in them than there is in real life. So it's like, you know, I spend a lot of the day remembering random bits of my dream or Family Guy or a book I've read and getting them all mixed up. And there's nothing going on for my life. So it's quite weird because it's not actively like anxious and like I'm feeling better than I have been, but I'm losing me. And like, apparently that's a bad thing, you know. Psychologists are like, ooh, don't dissociate, stick in your head. But it's like, fuck, there's nothing going on. Give me Family Guy. Let me get in there.
The thing about Family Guy is that when I was a younger man in high school, I was a huge fan of Family Guy.
When I wore a younger man's clothes.
That's right. They were a younger man's clothes. They were a school uniform. And I was very, very into Family Guy. This was we're talking sort of beginning in year seven, really, and then sort of going to mid-teens. But when Oliver and I weren't necessarily you know, we weren't necessarily close friends or anything. We knew each other, but Oliver has sort of in more recent years opened up to me that at that stage, basically, I was just a walking, talking Family Guy quote machine. And so it's hugely,
yeah.
Well, I don't even know what the word is really, but it's very interesting to me that now Oliver has latched on to Family Guy in such an intense way.
I haven't been quoting for years. I haven't been quoting it, but the fact that it is taking over my life and I've forgotten who I am is maybe worse than just a cool kid trying to have some fun quoting it at school. But I can do pitch perfect impressions of all the characters. Hit me with a character.
Do Brian.
Oh, I'm very passionate about politics. I sleep with humans.
So the timbre is sort of almost there with that one, yeah. Actually, but it was a bit more depraved and sort of maybe worrying.
It was a bit scary. It should have been a bit more casual. I think they've all got some sort of dark twist on them. Give me another.
I mean, the classic would be Herbert, wouldn't it? I feel like that was one the kids did in the schoolyard.
Look at you, that boy out there wearing shorts. I'm very aroused.
So it's interesting that you sort of give them, not necessarily
they're a bit fancy.
Wholesale British, but yeah. So, sort of sounds more like the child catcher of Chitty 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 Bang Bang rather than Family Guy, but a good effort nonetheless. Look, I wanted to ask you something, and if this is digging too much into your personal life, then feel free to kick me out. But you've spoken in the past about how you've not told your father that you were doing this podcast. And I'm sort of wondering how that's going now that you, for this quarantine period, you've been back living with him. And I'm just wondering, does he notice that you're watching Twilight every week, or does that not happen?
Right now, I'm holed up in my room. I've locked the door. He's banging on it. He's going, "What have I done wrong? Why do you go into your room for 40-minute periods and not talk to me? Who are you talking to? I like vampires too. Let me in." And I'm saying, "No, no. Look, it's been fine because, you know, in a functional household, you've all got to have times to go off and do your own thing. You know, I don't ask where he goes at 2 a.m, returning only with I don't know, lots of pens, lots of biros."
That is intriguing because, I mean, no shop should be open at 2 a.m.
I know, so I said, "Are you running some sort of illegal lockdown avoiding pen service?" And he said, no, "I was surfing. I am a surfer." And you know, that's all I can get out of him. So we've all got our secrets, and mine is possibly more heinous than any other. You know, watching bloody Breaking Dawn Part 2. Fuck.
Right, so just to confirm that he's still in the dark about whether or, you know, you're doing a podcast or not.
Yeah, well, look, if he confronted me directly, and, you know, our fame is growing, it's going to be hard for him to avoid the billboards and the TV spots. I've got a lucrative contract with Yoplait.
The yogurt brand.
Do you want to hear my Yoplait ad? I'm just, I haven't quite worked it out yet.
Yeah, no, far away.
Oh, my intestines are very filled with bad bacteria. How on earth can I fill them with good bacteria? Yoplait. So that's two people just in the park, and there's this shambling guy who comes up, and he's the Yoplait man, and he's got it all in his coat.
That's going to be sort of a television ad or an online ad.
Yeah, and I'm the Yoplait man, and I go, "Yoplait."
Are you, dressed up in sort of a Yoplait, you know, representative of yogurt, or?
Yeah, massive sort of coat smeared with lots of Yoplait, all the flavours. So you can, you know, you see all the different colours of the splats all over my coat, and you go, yes, apricot, and you have a little lick. And I'll sort of hold out the coat and smile and go, "Yoplait." And it's just a really good way of branching out and expanding my media empire.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm thinking of moving into staples.
Sorry?
You know, staples that you put in a stapler.
Right, you want to...
I've always felt they're very homogenous.
Okay.
Very, very similar. How do you tell a good stapler from a really bad one? And I think I'm going to get into really, really bad ones. Made of cottage cheese and various things that will just clog up the mechanism entirely. And it's like, you know, that is clearly an Oliver brand stapler. It's shit.
So you're producing the staplers. You're not. I sort of thought perhaps you were somehow reviewing these staplers. And you're obviously talking before about Yoplait ads. I was sort of going on the visual.
I won't review them. They'll be shit. All the reviews will just say these are awful. These are smelly and bad. And look, you know, that is my goal, but I don't want to sink my business. Hey, my favorite character this week in Twilight. No, favorite not my character favorite character.
Shining
my favorite,
light?
My shining character, shining light, was
Did you write it down?
No.
I thought you were looking. Looks like you're looking over to.
I was looking at my notes. I don't have it.
Oh, well, do you want to have a little bit to think about it? Because I've got notes as well, and I can read mine.
Yeah.
Okay. So I wrote down. I wrote a few other notes, which I might go over.
Yeah.
If we're feeling in the mood after. Do you want me to do those now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Look, do what you do. Do what you feel is good. I don't want to police you.
Okay. I'll just rattle through them. You know, I feel like the last couple of episodes we've had have been pretty heavy on the film discussion. Maybe you want to get away from that. I'll try and kind of barrel through them.
I'll just do a long sigh after each one if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely fine. I hate Bella's blue dress at the start. In fact, I think this movie's worst offence might be the costume design and the makeup. Sorry, I know we said we were potentially being positive. Those are all negatives. Bella's first look at Renesmee is one of confusion, if not indifference, maybe even distaste. And that's probably because she's not looking at any physical object because it was a CGI baby. This next one down is my shining light. So I'll quickly... Well, maybe I should... Actually, what I'll do... I'll go through the rest of my notes and then do Shining Light at the end, and then that'll segue into yours.
You're a smart boy. You've got a good brain on you.
I wrote, imagine having an overwhelming desire to eat your dad, because they're all worried that Bella's going to kill and suck the blood of her father because he's...
Are they?
Because she's newborn. Yeah. Oh. Edward says, it'll be like sticking a white-hot branding iron down her throat, and that's even if she could control her thirst or something like that.
I thought he was being very literal there. I thought that's what they were going to do to her.
Mm. Yeah, maybe. I sympathise with Bella's procrastination and wanting to tell Charlie. They're all basically getting on her back saying, you need to tell your father that you're a vampire. And she says, okay, I'll do it tomorrow. And I wrote, yes, a very human line amongst this inane vampiric bullshit, a response often used by me. Quite often when someone says, do this, I'll say, yeah, maybe tomorrow. What I wrote down here was, just saw a vampire that I genuinely don't think has ever been in the movie. And this was in the scene where Bella discovers that she is a shield. We've discussed before that the vampires all have different powers for some reason. Well, not all of them, but some have different powers. Bella's is that she can shield things. And then sort of a bit where she practices this by shielding Edward from some electricity, which is the power of another vampire. And then after she successfully sort of protects him, some brunette vampire cheering in the background. And I thought, that's a fresh face. Look out for it next time. Maybe I'll even screenshot it and send you just so I can confirm. But new character. And then the last thing I wrote before my shining light was just Bella says, so there's this bit where she's like, I've got to go do some errands. And she's trying to work some bullshit out. I actually don't really know what the point of this bit is. But over a sort of an establishing shot of her driving into Seattle, her voiceover says, maybe Jay Jinks is the key. And I just wrote, Bella says, maybe Jay Jinks is the key, as if we have any fucking clue who that is. Like at that stage, his name hasn't been brought up.
He's Jason.
He is Jason. But at that stage, Jay Jinks is not an established character in this franchise, let alone this movie. And she's like, yeah, maybe Jay Jinks is the key. And I'm thinking, what? Sorry, who?
I think that's why they needed the narration, because it's like, there's that moment of what, who, but then we see him and it's like, I guess him? Without that narration, it's just like, what, who for that entire scene, which is really weird still. But I love Jason. Shout out to Jason.
Yes, I tweeted at him, actually. I tweeted at the actor who played Jay Jinx this week, asking if... I'll quickly find my tweet and see what I wrote. Still haven't heard anything back. It's been a few days now. I tweeted at him. His name's Wendell Pierce, and I said, "Hi, Wendell. Were any scenes featuring the infamous Jay Jinx cut from the finished version of Breaking Dawn Part 2? Would love some insight on this, King." No response as of yet, but we will keep you updated if he does.
Wendell is an incredible name.
Mm.
I want a boy called Pindle.
Okay.
Pindle.
You have the power to do that. It's almost like Wendell's almost like a male version of Wendy.
I imagine Pindle has four legs, and he's a very skitterish boy, and he's scaring all the other kids because he's like sort of galloping around. He can't control his legs ever, and he's a menace.
Yeah, that seems like a good. I can sort of imagine that.
I love Pindle.
You'd hope so. You're his father. Look at what I'll do. I'll cap this all off. I'll cap all my notes off with my shining light. Which I wrote, "Shining light is when Alistair, the vampire, not the special guest of last week, Alistair says, 'Some friend, Carlisle,' because he's all angry that Carlisle's gotten him involved. And then Carlisle sort of laughs. He's like, 'Come on inside, Alistair.' And then Alistair remains genuinely upset. And I just thought that was a funny moment. You know, when sometimes maybe you push something a bit too far and you think it's all fun and games, but then the other person is genuinely angry. And it sort of reminded me of that, and I thought, nice. Oliver, what was your shining light?
Just when the Irish vampires arrive, just that first shot of them in the house, and there's a bloody another voiceover going, "Carlisle's Irish vampires turned up, and 'twas good." And then they're standing there going, "Oh, we're very serious, we're very serious. Can we have a line, please?" No. All right, we'll just be here very serious. One of us has a hat, so Irish.
They do mention that they drink human blood, the Irish ones.
Really?
I think that's mentioned.
That's why I don't sympathise. Bloody that American one who hates the British does. It's like, these are monsters. Why are we on their side?
This is what I said a few weeks ago. And this is
some
when,
friend, you know, Carlisle.
Yeah, Jacob was raising valid points, saying these people are going to kill the locals. And yes, they will.
Now, it was Jacob's strongest case this week, I think, for this crazy world of vampires around him. It's like, yeah, werewolves are cool. You're a bit of a weird guy. I don't endorse you, but I respect it. Just should your we, views on vampires.
Yeah. Shall we find out what's happening in a certain room of the house?
It's very curious how we call it Greek myths these days, because back then that was their genuine religion. The absolute arrogance of our modern society going, "Oh, now we've got some other religions, we can call those ones myths. Get a grip." Yeah. Okay, we can. We can do that.
That was good.
Attic.
We've not come up with a good theme for this, have we? We really need something.
We've come
that we
up with several bad themes.
I know, but I feel like every week I'm trying to lock in something, and all I do is just chant attic.
Tell you what, next week, I'm gonna ask the local band Scrotum and the Bobcats to record a demo of the theme, and we'll see if that one works. I know some of the guys in it. They're pretty temperamental. They've got a great genuinely SoundCloud. Dangerous.
If you search Scrotum and the Bobcats SoundCloud, some of their tracks are on there, and they're bloody brilliant.
Yeah, I don't like them, and I don't respect them.
A bit abstract.
I think they're solid musicians, so that we'll be hearing from them next week. Look, the segment we're talking about is when we wonder every week what Alistair is doing in the attic.
Just want to stress once again, Alistair the vampire, not the former co-host and special guest of last week's episode.
He's going to be in more, though. It feels
rude. I know, but it's like he's not here 99% of the time, so I don't want to, hardcore Alistair heads hanging on.
Yeah. I just want to say to the hardcore Alistair heads, there's no bad blood between us or anything. We said, we're going to do Twilight. I know you're in Denmark. Do you want to join in? He said, absolutely not. So it's like, he'll be along for the ride.
I think he said absolutely not before we even. I think we discussed before he was leaving whether or not if we did any film, just if we were going to do this concept, whether or not he'd do it. And he was pretty emphatic that he didn't want to from the start.
He's now toying with the idea of catching up to us, and I think that is just a man who's lost his mind.
You were very keen for him to do that, but I was desperately trying to ward him off. Like, obviously, I'd love to have the guy along, but I was just thinking from it, you know, I was in an especially bad place last week and if I could save anyone from having to go through that, I was really keen to do so. But we'll see. Maybe further along down the line, we'll see what his views are.
No, look, any good friends of Alistair, get in touch with him and see what's, you know, going on, because that is not the action of a sane man. Maybe you could convince him to watch hit show Family Guy. Because as Peter Griffin once said,
I'm the protagonist of this show.
That was my worst.
That was hard. That was, yeah, sorry.
Damn you, vile woman. All right, so look, I guess this week Alistair was up in the attic. He's having a lice party. He heard about chickenpox parties where you get all your kids around and infect them with chickenpox, because if you get it once, you won't get it again. Mm-hmm. And he's based that concept for his lice party. So he's invited prominent members of the community, and it's like, let's all rub our heads together. Let's all get lice. And he knows that lice aren't good for you. Like, there's no need to get them. But I think he has a respect for the humble head lice. Yeah. You know, feels like maybe they need a little help. Their terrain, you know, they've got a right to live as much as everyone. So he's got some of the most luxuriantly haired people in the community and said, come along, we're going to get you some new friends. Because lice are all right.
What are lice sort of feeding on? When they're up in your hair, because obviously vampires are sort of dead, you know, they're not producing any. Well, I mean, you know, are there some nutrients in the head that lice are trying to get? I don't know the science behind lice. So I'm wondering if, for lice, are vampires the best targets?
I feel like normally lice surely suck your blood, yeah?
Maybe, but...
So I think he's got a bit of common ground in there. What's the word for it in English? A bit of an arrangement. Something.
He's in cahoots with the lice, is what you're saying.
Yeah, he is. But I think on vampires, they would feast on just stray things lost in your hair, because, you know, as a beardman yourself, I'm sure some food gets caught in there every now and then.
My beard's not quite long enough. Like, my beard's, I try to keep it relatively sort of close cropped, because I'm not really into having a big straggly sort of thing. So I can't say, I mean, yeah, occasionally when I'm eating something will be stuck to it, but I'm not sort of, you know, finding things days later in there. But I believe that is an issue for men with large beards, that perhaps things get lost in there.
Surely every morning for beard conditioning, you rub a bit of chicken tikka masala in there to get that spice.
No, I use a vindaloo traditionally.
That's very vinegary. I think that'd be less flavor but more vigorous beardmanship. I think that's why you're such a renowned beard guy in the community. So I think it's just, you know, I'm sure my hair has a few small rodents and insects in it, and I think, you know, I think a lice would be perfectly happy in there. I wouldn't mind one of them. You know, if they're not itchy, I think the itchiness is heaps of them. But one lice is a cool.
Is lice the singular?
What would the plural be? Lices?
Well, I was thinking lice would be the plural.
Like, so what's mice. The singular?
Lie. That's what I'm wondering. Yeah, lie.
I've
got a lie in my head.
Yes, you do. You've been having an affair for 20 years.
Yes, because like, I was lie. Three. Little dog I was.
I had a relationship when I was four. Didn't really last, but I was really into it.
How the hell did that come? How did that come about?
I say relationship. Yeah, we're sort of married. We married.
Well, not legally, obviously.
It was a pretty big ceremony. I feel like legality has nothing to do with it. It was a lovely day. So many candles on that.
Who was the lucky lady?
Hannah. It was a Play-Doh cake, I think, and it was a lovely day.
I used to be really annoyed at Play-Doh cakes because I was wanting to eat cake.
I used to be really annoyed.
Because I loved Play-Doh, but then I was like, well, appreciate the gesture, folks, but this is, you know, I can't eat this.
No, no, but I used to be really annoyed at people saying you can't eat Play-Doh. Yeah, you bloody can. I know what's in this. There's some salt. There's some water. This is all stuff that people fucking love to eat. They're splitting salt all over their dinners, and then they say, oh, no, don't bloody eat that. It's harmless. Oh, it's got some food colouring in it. It sounds like it goes on food.
Harmless, sure, but, you know, certainly not as nice as a cake.
No, oh, it's salty and disgusting, but I want to eat it just for the principle of showing that it's fine. You know, it's not a good experience, but it's like, you know, this is all fine. I'm a clever boy. I'm going to eat this Play-Doh.
I do actually have a pretty vivid memory of what Play-Doh tastes like. Like, as you're talking about this, I can remember Play-Doh tastes like.
Yeah, it's so incredibly salty. Like, even you,
of Play-Doh?
Who pretended you didn't eat it. You've bloody had it.
I didn't pretend everyone's bloody had it.
Oh, no, I'm too sophisticated. I like a normal cake. Play-Doh. No. You bloody animal.
Look, mate, just because I was saying I would prefer a real cake doesn't mean I didn't eat the Play-Doh.
I think it's pretty simple ingredients, like your water, your flour.
It just sounds too food-like. It's got to have something in it that's not... That's not food. I don't know.
No. Because...
Do you have a best before date on Play-Doh?
No, I think it preserves. I've got several jars in the fridge right now. The 2003 vintage is really coming into its own this year. It's a mwah. I'm sort of craving it, which is it's interesting. Yeah, it's
just do you think you've got some Play-Doh around in the house somewhere that you could?
No, but I could make it tomorrow. That could be a vibe. I might make Play-Doh.
I don't have any food colouring or anything, though, so if I did it, it would just be sort of white. Just some white compound.
I feel like it's you know, 200% less fun if it's not coloured.
Absolutely, yeah.
I've got red food colouring, and for a period in 2015, I was putting it in everything just to see, like making curries that were incredibly unnaturally red. Oh my God. Just because it's like, it doesn't change the flavour, but it does because the perception of it is so like, this is space food.
Actually, I remember once in primary school when I was probably like 6 or 7, one time they were just like, we're just going to make some sort of bread today and you can just put in whatever the fuck you want. And they just took it. It was only a select group of us. I'm not really sure what the scenario was, but they just took us into a kitchen and we just poured in like several different food colouring, M&Ms and stuff in there. And I hadn't really thought about that until you just mentioned.
What? Why did you do that?
I don't know.
What were you making?
Like, it was essentially bread, but...
With like M&Ms.
Yeah, they were just like you can put in whatever you want, and they had all these supplies for us. It was supposed to be fun, and I think I had fun, but I don't remember what the point was.
I feel like this is this primary school version of like stonemasons. This sounds like some secret club. You know, you don't even the elite of the school is sent to this room to make their fancy space bread. Yeah. I never got that. I got locked in the road patrol cover, right? I was on the streets, school of hard knocks, mate.
Well, we didn't go to the same school, Oliver, so maybe, you know, maybe if you'd gone to Normandale School in that particular year, then maybe you would have been in that bread-making club. Who's to say?
One can only hope. Hey, this... Yeah,
All that's left of our mandatory sort of checkpoints is our team. What team are on? A segment that spawns from the fan fervor of the late 2000s when people were saying, I'm Team Edward, I'm Team Jacob. Each week we like to pick our favourite character of the week.
I think it would be good if we had a massive Twilight fan on the show.
Yeah.
I might look into that.
We could probably arrange that.
Because then we could actually be sort of educated.
See, the thing is, I feel like I'm... I definitely don't show it because you ask me questions that I seem to never know the answer. But I... Definitely the first one. Like I know that movie pretty fucking well. I've seen that quite a few times. Where it breaks down for me is that I haven't seen the other ones nearly as many times. So I'm not like well versed in the lore. And especially it breaks down a lot on this one because a lot of it relies on part one, which I've seen once. and I don't really remember anything about it. So, but if you quiz me on Twilight 1, I'll come at you with some red hot answers.
What season is it set in? What season of the year?
Fuck. No, I don't know. I think it's probably it's raining, but then they sort of note how it does that all the time. I can tell you for a fact that in New Moon, the second one, the season changes. There's a sequence where the camera revolves around Bella as she sits in a chair, and the seasons change.
No.
Yeah.
Is that when it's representing like her breakup feelings?
Yeah.
Oh, mate, when I read the New Moon book, that was the bit that really spoke to me. It was like, I am an emotional 12-year-old and this is breaking my damn heart. Yeah, I haven't had a proper relationship, but I thought back to my kindergarten days and all that, and it's like, this is genuinely good prose, and it really captures this feeling. I don't really know, but it's like, oh, I feel it.
And before we cap this project off, we're going to watch all of them. Maybe look up the scene on YouTube. It's bloody good. It's got a song called Possibility by, I don't know how to pronounce her name, and I've had debates over this before. I looked it up and now I can't remember, but it's, I think it's like Licky Lie, something like that.
It's Licky Lee, I think.
Yeah, okay.
It's a great album in 2018.
Right, well, there you go. She sings a song that accompanies that scene, and it's a very good scene. So maybe go check that out.
Yeah, no, I think I'll wait because I'm really excited for that big day when we're going to have a slumber party and watch all the Twilight.
It's going to be a huge day.
I think Alistair should be there for that. I don't quite know how we'll podcast it, but I don't quite know.
Do you think that should be when we did Bad... this is straight up admin I'm about to dive into.
I don't care.
When we did Bad Mums 1, our final watch was just the movie by itself. I think episode like 51 we did Bad Mums 1 and 2 together. But I'm thinking maybe for Twilight, because this one ends on such a like note of this is, you know, the final chapter and we've got that end credits montage and it's tying it all together. Maybe for the final one, that should be the one we do the whole day. And then it will feel like we've really kind of really, you know, closed that book and closed that chapter of our lives and their lives.
Yeah, but I feel like we should do that. There's so many movies to talk about in one podcast. I think we should do that in a couple separate ones.
Yeah, no, that's true.
We should do one where we just watch the first four.
Okay.
And that has really scared me because it's like, what is my life? Because I think last night or the night before I had a dream where I was talking about Family Guy admin. I was in an episode of Family Guy and we were live for some reason and I was just having a debate about how it's really great that Chris can now understand Stewie starting in about season 12 or 13. I was like, no, this is great for opening up the storytelling possibilities. And Peter was like, we're doing the show now. And I said, well, no one cares. We're in like season 17. We can talk about this for a minute. It's like, this is really good what you've done. So that's, so I'm freaking out is what I'm saying. Hey, this week I'm team Toshiro.
I like really the Michael Sheen says, my dear Toshiro.
Yeah, he does a nice voice. But I just like Toshiro's vibes. He's just this guy who's... I don't even know if he's a vampire. I think he must be.
Yeah, he is.
Okay. So he just gets beaten up by the baddies because I guess he was maybe contemplating joining the goodies. And it's just a weird... I don't know if he's in any previous movies, but I like his fear, but there's also a hint of defiance. He's like, they didn't contact me. And then they're like... I don't bloody care. We're gonna kill you, actually. And he's like, come on. And then they do kill him. And I just think it's a really incongruous, weird, lame scene. But I really like what Toshiro is giving to it, and I want to know more about him.
Nice.
I want to know what's his story.
This week I'm team, and I don't know her vampire name, so I'm just gonna say her actress's name. I'm team Casey LeBeau. She plays some generic blonde vampire, and she has electric powers. I talked about her earlier in the podcast, and I usually find her quite irritating. But this week,
wait, is she the one who's holding the baby at the first time they see the baby?
That's Rosalie.
Who's she with?
Rosalie. Rosalie's
with... Oh, who's this blonde one?
Oh, this one, at? She's with, you know, when they go to see their cousins in Alaska.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And there's the two blonde ones. There's like the two black-haired ones and the two blonde ones.
One of them was in Doctor Who, and that's not that one.
Not her. It's this other one. And she's on the ends up with Lee Pace's character, who hates the British. They sort of have
see, this is really weird, because thing. I only think of three people in that Alaska scene. I literally don't know who you're talking about.
She's got sort of straight, long blonde hair. She's the one, she's the electric one, man. I know that... You know, Bella,
I know
like,
that someone ends up with that guy who hates the... really weird.
Do you not remember the bit where Bella's like practicing to be a shield and she sort of pretends to zap her?
I do, but I can't see a face. And if I try, I replace it with one of the other blondes.
Yeah, that's fair enough. She's got a fairly forgettable face. But anyway, I liked her energy this week. And she does a whole bit where Bella is sort of struggling to repel this electric attack, and they're all saying, you're not invested enough. And then she's like, what if I go get Renesmee, which is their baby? And it's like, oh, haha, like, oh, good joke, I'm going to go electrocute your baby. But Bella takes it really seriously, and she's like, are you fucking kidding? And it's like, obviously it's a joke.
Was she joking?
Well, yeah, she like does it with a little smirk. She'd be like, I think Emmett says, oh, clearly you're not, you don't care enough. And then she's like, should I go see if Renesmee's awake? And then she's like, are you kidding?
Yeah, I think Bella's right to be protective with Jacob on the prowl. I think it's fair enough. I understand.
Yeah, a heightened sense of guardianship, perhaps.
No, that's good. I'll look out for that. She's slipped through the cracks for me, but I'll really focus in on the 9th or 10th or whatever the fuck watch of this.
Yeah, look, I do want to stress that usually I don't think much of it, but this week...
that's the magic of it. You know, sometimes people ask me, what's the point? And it's like, well, the point is that the films change every week and someone needs to keep an eye on it, because this, you know, a lot of people have forgotten about this movie. It's come and gone. They saw it in the cinema. We've got to keep watching it because it could mutate into something deadly.
Yeah, and obviously you're getting different performances each week. It's the same cast, you know, they're working their little tails off. I'm often doing the matinee sessions, which, you know, obviously people sometimes discredit matinee sessions, but I've been finding they've been doing all right. They've been putting a bit of flair in there. Perhaps they're, you know, a bit more daring with the matinee performances. Obviously, Oliver, you're going to the sort of the evening shows.
Yeah, it's a long season. They're doing the... It's a weird scheduling, doing once a week for a year. It's like, surely they'd want to fit it in. You know, what are they going to do?
Usually sort of professional, you know, Broadway and West End shows, you're doing every day. But, you know, once a week, it's quite prolonged and sort of spaced out. But
sometimes they forget the script. Often Robert Pattinson forgets to talk or act. But you know, broadly they're doing an all right job. Like, the film is each week getting across the line. I come to the end and I go, yes, what I just watched was a movie.
I'm not always standing up and clapping, but, you know, I'm always happy to see them come out and do the curtain call.
See, I am always standing up and clapping, just because I want them to notice me.
Right.
I want them to say, you can come on stage and follow us with a one-man show called What I Learned from Twilight.
You could probably be in it. They seem to be sneaking in sort of new cast members every now and again. You could probably show up on time.
Oh, I'd be such a cool vampire. What do you think my vampire power would be?
I think you'd be... I think you'd be really good at climbing, but like...
Yeah.
But mostly to sort of get fruit. Like, I think, even though you can't eat it, I think, you know, back in when you were turned, you were working in an orchard and you got turned, and so you've never quite kicked that habit of scrambling up those trees and picking off an apple.
I smell it.
Hmm. Oh, God, you can smell that apple from a mile away.
What would happen if I did eat it? Would it just...
I think they have to throw it up. I remember asking my sister, who was a big Twilight nut, and she'd read the books. And I seem to remember there's like, it might be a bit, they might even discuss it in the first movie, I can't remember. But I seem to have that knowledge in me somewhere that if they eat, sometimes, you know, a situation might arise, but they do have to, just to sort of, you know, keep up appearances and not tip people off. And I think then they have to go and throw it back up.
That's another thing that's so lame about vampires. I'd like to conclude this episode of our bloody podcast, which I've come to the end and I feel good about it. I feel like, you know, nothing really needs to be put out into this world. Everything's pointless. So it's like, why not record this nonsense? It's like, it's good. I want to end this by saying vampires are fucking idiots. And I don't even care if the Volturi are going to come and get me, because they're dumb and I hate their faces. And Jamie's with me on that. He's nodding along fervently, so come and get him as well.
Thanks for listening.